Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Checker flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game. And The Game Nashville.
He takes the white flag.
It is.
Is he going to move him? Next flag, and it's over. He is.
Shot.
He's in the back of him.
Shots fired off
That's
turn two.
Really good defense.
Wow.
I don't think he can get to him. He tried.
And William Byron comes off turn four to win at Martinsville.
And welcome into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. We're also on 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Appreciate them for having us in all around the world at thegamenashville.com, chasingcheckersradio.com, and wherever you get your podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers. You heard the final call there from Martinsville, courtesy of Fox Sports. Mike Joy, Chad Knaus, and Clint Bowyer on the call as William Byron gets it done. He becomes the first multi-race winner of the campaign this year, breaking that streak of new drivers, different drivers winning every race this year. But William Byron, and you know, we've talked about it. It feels like he's starting to come into his own as a driver in the Cup Series. You can see the talent there. You can see the confidence. And he ultimately goes and he gets the winner, which was awesome and well-deserved by him. He won the truck race on Thursday at Martinsville. So had himself quite the weekend to get him another win in the Cup Series. And what I thought was interesting, and Fox Sports pointed this out, is all of his wins have come at different types of racetracks. So it's been just kind of a who's who of tracks, but a talented young William Byron gets yet another win this year and another win in his career. And he caught up with Fox Sports' Regan Smith on the front straightaway.
And it feels awesome. You know, I knew when that last caution came out, we were probably, you know, I thought everyone behind us would pit. And luckily, you know, we stayed out. We were aggressive. We felt like we could refire on the tires and be okay. And you got one of the most aggressive guys behind you in Logano. And I knew, like, I chattered the tires in three and four and kind of left the bottom open, but was able to kind of block my exits and get a good drive off. So this one's for my mom. You know, she last time this same weekend last year, she had kind of a mini stroke and was diagnosed with brain cancer. So it means a lot to have her here. And it's been a crazy year, but she's doing great. And thanks everybody for the support. I kind of felt like she was riding there with me. So it's cool to have her here, and I'm definitely going to enjoy this one.
She was definitely riding with you, as a matter of fact, on the pit box all night long. A lot of smiles. What do you think that moment's going to be like when you see her in a minute here?
Oh, man, it's going to be awesome. I love my parents. They've been so supportive, but also kind of let me grow up as I get older. So, yeah, I got a great support system. Thanks to all the fans for coming out. Great crowd. Always wanted to win at Martinsville. Got two clocks this weekend, so I enjoy that.
And he dominated the second half of the race. I know Chase Elliott dominated the first half. He swept both the first two stages, and it looked like he could be on his way to his first win of the year. But Byron and company adjusted on that car. The crew did a great job. And what's interesting is having somebody like Chad Knaus in the booth, who obviously works for Hendrick Motorsports, a seven-time championship-winning crew chief with Jimmy Johnson, and the perspective that he can give, I thought that was really cool. And, you know, he talked about William Byron and his development as a driver, and Rudy Fugel and his development as a crew chief. And it's obviously all coming together. Now, what was interesting is Joey Logano. You heard in the clip there from Fox that Logano, Mike Joy called it, Logano tried to get to the bumper and just couldn't. Bowyer said, I don't think he can get there. Logano caught up with Jamie Little of Fox Sports and gave his thoughts on that. And then there's another clip that I want to play as well that goes more in depth about trying to make passes.
You rallied there. You had a run for it at the end, but with so many unknowns coming into this race, your perspective on just what it was like with this car?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good race down to the end. Really hard to pass. I felt like, man, if I just had a better restart the restart before that, I think I chose the wrong lane and Got the three in front of me, and I just got stuck behind him. Couldn't pass him, and maybe I could have had something for the 24 in that long haul if not. But just that final restart there, you know, had a front row. It's what you can ask for. Got cleared to second, and you know, William kind of messed up off of four and let me get to him. And he did a really good job at brake checking the 2/3, right? Which is, I mean, it's a good job. He did what he's supposed to do and kind of got me all stuffed up behind him, and I couldn't accelerate off the corner and be as close as I needed to be down into three to execute the old bump and run. So couldn't get quite to him, but his corner entry was really strong too, which I think allowed him to get in there pretty strong. So overall, the Shell Penzo Mustang had a solid run. Just hate being that close to winning and not making it happen, but big points today, and it just stings. Second just sucks sometimes, that's all.
So you could tell he was disappointed in second, which I totally get. Wanted the win, but I did notice that. I mean, this was the first time that I felt like, I didn't think the race was bad. I didn't think it was necessarily boring. It just got more spread out at Martinsville than I've seen in the past. And a lot of the drivers were just saying it was hard to pass. And you couldn't get like a momentum built up on a run. You basically had to use the bumper to try and get around anyone. Bob Pockris of Fox Sports put this on his Twitter. He caught up with Joey Logano and asked him more about that. And what Logano said about the tires is very interesting.
There seemed, in the preseason, it seemed like some people thought the short tracks could be a challenge with this car.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the racing was bad, but it definitely was harder to pass. You know, I don't think anyone could really pass without putting a bumper to somebody. So, just a lot more challenging, and it's harder to get there. You know, there was, I was faster than a three the whole run, and I couldn't get there. Like, just, I was almost there, and I get tight, miss my front tires off, cool it back down, make another run at it, and I couldn't get to them to even try to make the move. So it was harder than I thought it would be to pass. I mean, I thought it would be harder, but it's not that much harder. I think the other thing is the tires don't wear out. That's a big problem. We got to make the tires wear out. You can't run the whole run and, you know, slow down a half a second. After that many laps, it's too much. We gotta find some tire wear.
So is that something? That's something that's fixable,
that's probably the
right?
Biggest thing.
I mean, you can.
Yeah.
And I guess it's, you expect them to go be a little bit conservative on tire wear when you start with the car. Sometimes, maybe at a track like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to get a little bit of benefit, but yeah.
We can't be conservative. You know what I mean? Like, our sport is not conservative. Look at everything we've been doing. We've been going for it on every department. We need to make sure we go for it on the tire department, too.
That was an interesting exchange between Bob Pockris and Joey Logano. And obviously an easy fix of if, you know, the tires weren't wearing out. But how I took that, and I've never heard a driver say this, the tires were too good. And you just don't see that. And I thought that was pretty interesting to hear that was what you weren't getting the tire wear that you usually would. And that's kind of what led to not being able to get the runs and not being able to get a pass. But nonetheless, that's what it was. And William Byron, the race winner, in his post-race press conference, kind of discussed the pace of the race and different things and still learning this new car on a short track like Martinsville.
Yeah, the pace was certainly high. You know, I don't think I could never relax. You know, I could never save. I saved tire by just not sliding the tires, but not, you know, I never could back up and like save tire and things like that. But I think it's just really cold temps. And, you know, anytime it's below 40 degrees, I'd say, you know, the tires don't even lay rubber. So that was definitely a factor all night. But normal short track stuff, like take care of your rear tires and all those things, and I felt like we did a good job of that. Rudy made some great adjustments there, probably the mid portion of the race, got us a little bit better, and you know, just had to manage when we got to traffic and had to be aggressive with certain guys to kind of, you know, either move them or get them off line to pass them and set our gap from there. I thought as soon as we got our car a little bit better, we could work through lap traffic and kind of build the lead.
So, again, didn't think it was a bad race. Obviously not the best one that I've seen, you know, with this new car, but we knew that there were going to be some races where they were going to have to tweak and learn some things. And, you know, the next time around, it'll be different. It was cold, so that you heard William Byron mention that. That had a lot to do with it. But that is the part of the learning process with this next-gen car that everybody knew that you're going to have to go through. But it is interesting of, you know, kind of who's figuring out and who isn't. And another driver I want to hear from in just a second, because I want to talk about him, is Austin Dillon. Austin Dillon with another top five finish. He comes home third and caught up with Jamie Little of Fox Sports.
Austin, we didn't have to wait to the end to talk about you coming on. We talked about you all race long. So are you excited where you finished, or are you bummed because you were so close?
Well, you know, I'm a little bummed. You know, I like to pride myself, and when we get those situations, is being clutch, and that was anything but that on that last restart. I spun the tires pretty good through the gears, and once I got back in line there, I had some grip, and I feel like, you know, we had good forward drive all night long, and I just felt like if we got through the gears, we're going to have a shot at them. But our Get Bioethanol Chevy was really fast. Our guys, we've been working our tails off. I'm not going to say we haven't, because we've been in the simulator. We've been working really hard to make this car as good as possible. We want to get RCR a win, and that's what we're here racing for. I want to shout out to my wife and Ace back at home, and thank the good Lord for bringing us a good run. That was a lot of fun.
Three straight top tens for Austin Dillon.
You can kind of watch a driver and know that, hey, they're close. And I think it's more of an organization. I think Richard Childress Racing is close. Tyler Reddick is close to winning his first cup race. Austin Dillon has obviously won the Coke 600, the Daytona 500. He's won at Texas. He's gotten wins. I think he's close to another one. I just think those cars are performing well right now. And you could hear it in Dillon's voice that he's got some confidence starting to build up and, you know, becoming a little bit of a short track racer here. So I feel like that three car is close to getting back into victory lane. You know, this weekend at Bristol on the dirt is kind of a wild card. You never really know what you're going to get there. All eyes are pointing to Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, these guys with a dirt racing background. But last year we saw Joey Logano win it, and he didn't have a dirt racing background. We saw Martin Truex Jr. win the truck race. He didn't have a dirt racing background. So I think it's just kind of a crapshoot. And Austin Dillon has won at Eldora in a truck before. I believe it was the inaugural race there that he won several years back. So I think that organization is close. But I also think that I'm still liking what we're seeing out of the next-gen car. And you heard Joey Logano say it earlier in one of the clips that nothing they've done is conservative. So they got to continue that they can't be conservative and got to keep doing what they can to make this the best show that it possibly can be. So William Byron gets the win, his second of the year. He leads 212 of the just over 400 laps, 403 to be precise. Joey Logano second, Austin Dillon third, Ryan Blaney fourth, Ross Chastain with yet another top five. Rounding that out, Kurt Busch 6th, Kyle Busch 7th, Eric Almirola 8th, another strong run for him. Chase Briscoe comes home 9th, Chase Elliott 10th. Into the second 10, Austin Cindric, Alex Bowman, Eric Jones, Kevin Harvick, Chris Buescher, Bubba Wallace, Brad Keselowski, Tyler Reddick, Kyle Larson, and Christopher Bell rounding out your top 20. As now they move from asphalt with a little bit of concrete to dirt, which is covering concrete, this week at the Bristol Motor Speedway. Coming up next, we're going to shift gears. We're going to do something a little bit different because the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix is coming back to Nashville August 5th through the 7th, and tickets are now on sale at musiccitygp.com. And obviously, we are partners with the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix on Darren Donick and Chase, the midday show. And unfortunately, I wasn't on that day. Joseph Newgarden, Hendersonville native, joined them to talk about tickets going on sale, to talk about year two of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. You will hear that conversation with him up next. And then Ross Chastain going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Once again, he's becoming a regular on the show to talk Bristol dirt. You're listening to Chasing Checkers, presented by Apple Collision Centers, the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, on ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
And welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and also 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. So glad to have them on as well. earlier this week on Darren Donick and Chase, shifting gears a little bit, obviously the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix is coming to Nashville August 5th through the 7th. Tickets are on sale now, so you can go to musiccitygp.com for more info and tickets on the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. But as a part of the on sale date, Darren Donick and Chase, and unfortunately I was not a part of this interview, but Darren McFarlane, Willie Donick, talked to Joseph Newgarden, Nashville native. He's from Hendersonville, a two-time IndyCar champion, and obviously one of the members that will be racing that weekend in the NTT IndyCar Series here in Nashville. He talked about year two of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix.
It's come a long
way. Joseph Newgarden, we were just reminiscing about you when we first started talking to you when you were just an unknown driver from Hendersonville, Tennessee, and we're like, this kid's got it, man. He's got something, and now he's a superstar. Now he's a big deal. And you know what? You haven't forgotten us little people on the way to the top, Joseph, and we thank you for that. Or have you?
Hey,
by the way,
I
this is Darren. By the way, this is Darren and Willie.
You do remember us, right? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember you guys. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for saying your name. Yeah, so I can remember who I'm talking to. How you doing?
Wait, who is this again? Who did I call? I'm doing great, guys. I'm doing great. It's good to hear from you. You're my favorite radio show, without a doubt. You've always been kind to me over my career, and it's fun to see where it's all gone, and you know, fun to have a race in Nashville these days, which is unbelievable. I never thought we would get here. So it's cool. You know, we're 10, 11 years up the road on this relationship.
I know. We certainly are. It is hard to believe. And by the way, congrats. And your answer should be great because you are off to a very, very hot start, back-to-back wins. You know, I want to ask you something just while I'm thinking about it, because I think, you know, in all seriousness, all the years we've been talking with you and all the interviews, I don't think I've ever asked you, you know, athletes in you know, pick a sport, sometimes have stories attached to their number, sometimes they don't. But sometimes I do find it fascinating if somebody has a story attached to their number. And I know you've changed your number. You're at Team Penske now, and you're the two car, and I think you've been the two car for a good while. I know you weren't that early on. I think you were like, what, 67 and I think 21, I believe, early on. Is there a story behind two, or was it just like given to you and you're like, I don't care?
Well, I wish there was some like substantial, amazing backstory, but you know, ultimately I was hired to get into the two car. I replaced Juan Pablo Montoya at Team Penske.
Right.
So for people that, you know, follow racing, Juan was an F1 driver, you know, drove in NASCAR and obviously started out in IndyCar racing, Indy 500 winner. And so when, you know, Roger gave me the opportunity to drive at the team, Juan's the guy I was replacing. He was driving the two car. So, you know, I always thought that was cool because Juan Pablo is a very famous driver and someone I looked at when I was growing up and, you know, admired his racing. And so to be able to step inside the car he was driving was pretty cool. But, you know, I liked the number two. It's definitely special to me. I drove the 21 car for most of my junior career. I won this really big race in England when I was 18 years old. It was called the Formula Ford Festival. And most F1 drivers back in the day, whether it was Senna or it was Schumacher, would go and run the Formula Ford Festival. And there's no American that's ever won it. I was the first American to ever win it. And I drove the 21 car. And so then I drove the 21 car again in IndyCar with Ed Carpenter Racing. And then I basically just dropped the one and kept the two. So I don't know. That's my career with numbers. It's nothing special, but I feel like up to this point, I've kind of made the two car my number after, you know, being at Team Penske now for 5 years and having success with them.
Yeah, I probably should have asked it differently. I guess I should have asked you, did you have the option of changing it? Were you okay with it? Or I don't even know how that works. Or do you have to kind of, when you take over a car and a number, does it have to stay that number? I'm not sure how the dynamics work behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's a good question. So, like, it's very true. It's kind of like franchises. You know, they have special numbers, and you know, you'll see franchises retire numbers for certain players, right? Well,
sure.
In racing, you definitely teams they own specific numbers for their cars, and so it's actually good for me because I probably need to go study up the history of the two car on the IndyCar side with Team Penske. I don't know it well enough, and so this is prompting me to maybe need to go do that. But the, you know, the three car is very famous on Team Penske. That was Elio Castroneves' number. So we run a 2, we run a 3, and then Will Power is the number 12. I'm pretty sure that there's probably someone in here listening going, how does this guy not know the history of Team Penske's numbers? I just don't know the two-car history well enough. So I'm going to go look. You know, next time I come on here, I'm going to have an answer for you what the history is on the two-car.
Good deal. And I look forward to that. I took the family to the race last year, and we talked about it so much that Monday and really throughout the week. The reaction was just mind-blowing in this market, and I expect year two to be even bigger and better. So the fan experience was incredible. Obviously, it was a perfect day. Just walking around, interacting with fans, and they were just blown away at the spectacle that was. Tickets just went on sale this morning. With all that being said, Joseph, what was it like going through it? As we said at the beginning, a guy that this market is special to you, and for you to actually be in it, what was it like?
It was incredible. You know, I never in my wildest dreams could imagine a street course race for IndyCar in downtown Nashville. Like, that's just a, you know, what a crazy thought.
Do you remember when we used to joke?
Yeah.
Many, many, many years ago, we used to, like, it was, we were kind of serious, but it was also, like, in a joking manner. Like, but we used to joke about that, right?
100%. I mean, I don't, the feasibility of that is super, super low. It would have been low, in my opinion. And so the fact that they pulled it off is incredible. And, it, you know, this is not a one-and-done type of event. You know, this is meant to be a long-standing, you know, marquee event for the IndyCar series. And I think it's already become that. After just 1 year, you know, these are the type of events that we love to have. I think they're the best fan experiences you're going to find. If, you know, if you're a race fan or you're just a festival fan, then coming to a race like the Music City Grand Prix is really the best case scenario for everybody. And I thought they delivered. You know, that was the great thing. From a fan experience standpoint, they delivered. It was a great event. It was super fun. I got incredible feedback just on, you know, people that attended it. And they said they had a great time. You know, it was everything they wanted and more. I think the only place that we need to improve is probably on, you know, the track design slightly. We're going to massage that. We're going to try and improve some of the race procedures just so we can have a better show. But you know what? To be honest, that's very, very normal. Whenever we go to a new venue for the first time, there's always going to be some learning experience. It's our first time running a race there live. So, you know, for me, the race is only going to get better in year two, year three, and then as we go down the road. But from a event standpoint, you know, I don't think we could have asked for much more. It was just awesome to be a part of that and be in my hometown.
Joseph Newgarden is with us. So, Joseph, we volunteered last year to do what we needed to do, just driving around. I live close to the stadium there on the east side. I know the Predators guys, when they come back from the airport, they like to drive pretty fast at night to get back home. So do you need us to, like, you know, burn some rubber around the track as we get closer to the race? Would that help?
Absolutely. Go lay down some tracks, you know, pre-run in the grooves. Actually, you know, there's a lot of people that I talked to. They were like, hey, man, like right before they closed it up, I made sure to get a drive on the track and check it out. It all looks good. All looks good out there. You know, watch out for this section that might bite you. There was all sorts of people that were, you know, driving the track right before they closed it all up, which I thought was pretty cool. You know, you don't really get to see that type of viewpoint. Because it really does change when you put all the barriers up and the fencing. I mean, it really turns into a full-blown racetrack. And so to be able to drive a road car on that and sort of see the vantage point that the racers do is pretty special. Unique environment. It's so cool. I love the event. You know, can't wait to get back and hopefully have a fast car. And it would be such a dream to win there. You know, in my hometown, how special would that be?
Before we let you go, I think back, you know, Darren got me going there. We were talking about when we first met you and you were still, I think, a teenager at the time. We've just watched you grow up as a professional. I remember the event you did with Roman Yossi. That was years ago. You guys were both, you know, just on the verge of blossoming in your careers. As you think back, just growing up, all you've accomplished here, now you still got a long way to go. But, you know, how far you've come, you know, and it's just so interesting for us to watch a lot of young professionals sort of grow up in front of our eyes.
Well, I've been so fortunate. You know, I've been around excellent people in my career. I've been given incredible opportunities and just tried to utilize them to the best of my ability. And I think that's really been the case. You know, being able to drive for Team Penske has been the latest honor for me and trying to maximize that time with them. But I'm proud to be from Nashville. You know, I love that I live back here now. It's been a treat for me to move back here with my family and, you know, still work in IndyCar. And I'm excited about the future. You know, it's exciting to see what's happened with Nashville. You know, you talk about Yossi and how far he's come. And, you know, it's such a fun town for sports, and it's only getting better, you know, with what we have going on with the Predators and the Titans and maybe some future franchises that are coming in. And then you bring great events here like the Music City Grand Prix. It's really just a great town to be a part of these days. And, you know, to have my career and all that kind of collide has been, you know, a real blessing. I've just been super fortunate to live out this career dream.
Well, it would be really, really cool for you to drink some milk in late May and win this sucker here in early August. That would be that would put a nice bow to this season. You're already off to an unbelievable start. I know there's a long ways to go, but that would be pretty cool if you could do that this race season. Just saying.
Let's go. I want to book it. I love it. That's the schedule.
Joseph is a beauty, and you're going to be hearing a lot from him in the coming months leading up to the big one. Back here on Chasing Checkers,
presented by Apple Collision Center, the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, and Bristol Motor Speedway, the Bristol Dirt Race, coming up in just a few weeks, April 16th and 17th, Easter night.
Is becoming a regular. The stars of the Cup Series
will be under the lights of Bristol on the dirt. And I was just joking with him off the air because I feel like he's becoming a regular on the show, but we welcome him once again. The driver of the number one from Trackhouse Racing, Ross Chastain, is here with us again. Ross, how you doing?
Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway on ESPN 102.5.
You know, I'm good. Always enjoyed our conversation last week, and good to talk to you again. But Richmond, I guess, what did you learn on the short tracks with this new car? I know you guys didn't get the finish that you had been looking for, but it's just a week-by-week thing with this new car.
Yeah, it is. That's what's so awesome and yet so crazy about the Cup Series right now is you just don't know. And yeah, we came out of COTA with our first, you know, team win and our first career win, and went to Richmond and brought a car capable of running inside the top three. And at times we were an eighth place car, and at times we were a second place car. And, was really proud of that. Yeah, the finish doesn't show it, but we know what happened there. So it's week to week and race to race and even run to run between sets of tires right now. It's, we're making big swings in these cars. And so far, you know, with Daniel and 99 and myself and our one team, it's been really, really, really awesome to be in the Cup Series for us. We're having good cars and good speed in our cars. And, you know, it's we're laying the groundwork for what's going to be Trackhouse for a long time.
Yeah, there is no doubt about that, Ross. Does it help, even though Richmond, Martinsville, and obviously the dirt race at Bristol are three different tracks, but does it help that you're kind of in a short track season right now as you guys try and fine-tune this car?
Actually, I would say no. It's probably the opposite, and I say that because with this new car and with the vendor-supplied parts that we're having, just to be honest, you know, there's issues, right? Everything's not running at 100%. You know, we've got, you know, the transaxle and the shifting linkages, right? We're learning about that and the mounts. And so NASCAR and the vendors are constantly evolving. As we put these race cars through these races, like, there's other cars around the world that are similarly built, and a lot of the hardware on the car is similarly manufactured and raced. But NASCAR and us drivers and the tracks we go to, especially the loads that we put into these cars with the banking and the speeds we carry, are just unlike anything else around the world, and for better or worse sometimes. And we're finding the limits of hardware, brake rotors, you know, transaxle mounts. You hear each tweak, there's one or two little things. Now, I think we're breaking down a whole lot less than we ever have been in the sport. If we were building these cars ourselves, we'd have way more issues. The problem is, as racers, we want to have our destiny in our own hands. And, you know, you get a part, you mold it on, and if it fails, then it's like, well, I had no control over that, and I don't like it, and now I'm going to complain about it. So learning to deal with that and learning to live in the space of the new NASCAR has been challenging, but it's been rewarding as we've figured it out.
Ross Chastain is with us, the driver of the number one for Trackhouse Racing. Really enjoyed the interview you did with Jamie McMurray for Fox, and I thought it was cool to kind of see him go into that shop that he spent a lot of time at driving for Chip Ganassi for so many years, and to see all the changes that Justin and everybody have made there for Trackhouse. What was that kind of like from your perspective of getting to talk to him, somebody that spent so many years there, but now to see that Justin has put in this culture of winning that you and Daniel have bought into?
Yeah, well, you know, it was neat. You know, Jamie's a guy that I've watched race for as long as I can remember. And I like to remind him of that. he's older. But he's a guy that I've went to for advice and just help throughout my career. And then when I got, especially when I got to CGR, you know, I went to him a lot in the early couple of days and weeks of getting over here on the Xfinity side. And he was in the one car then, you know, he was who I want to be like, right? He was a guy that carries himself well, does all the little things right, and goes fast on top of all that. So for him to come in and interview me in this building after we won a cup race in the number one car was surreal. I struggled in the moment to find the words to tell him how cool I thought it was. The days that it's went past, now that we've got another race under our belt and life's a little bit back to normal, it's been really cool. So that was really awesome.
So the dirt race at Bristol coming up in a couple of weeks, and they were nice enough to set this interview up. Outside of last year, how much dirt racing have you really done in your career?
All on a tractor, man. Getting in trouble at the farm growing up. No, nothing. I did Eldora in the truck series in 2019, and then that's it. Only other dirt race was the Bristol Cup race, and then I just did Millbridge last weekend. Just not for Bristol, just for pure dirt racing knowledge and being around people and just seeing how the groove changes and just going through that process at Millbridge in a micro was good. So it doesn't apply to Bristol at all. But I'm just trying to learn to read the dirt and learn how guys attack the dirt. I've never looked at it that way. I've always looked at dirt as how do you grow a crop, not how do you drive a car on it.
Yeah, not going to be any watermelons growing on this dirt for sure. So how do you prepare for that? Do you talk to guys like Christopher Bell or Larson or, you know, some of these guys that have done a lot of dirt racing? Or are they able to share some things? Or obviously they're competitors, so they like having that advantage. How do you prepare without you know being in the car?
Well, I mean, let's go back. First of all, I hope there's watermelons on Bristol dirt after the race.
Exactly.
When we come back next year, or when they move the dirt back outside the track, there's watermelons growing up in the dirt. But no, well, I mean, yeah, Josh Wise and our Chevy group is definitely there. Just an incredible talent. Now he's turned into a coach and a mentor for a lot of us. And I mean, yeah, Larson's in our group, Reddick, Bowman. I mean, just those four guys alone right there have, you know, hundreds of dirt car wins and thousands of races across the country. I just go to them. We work together every week and we're trying to be the best race car drivers we can be. And yeah. They've all, the four of them have forgotten more about dirt than I've really ever learned. So I'm trying to keep up.
Ross Chastain is with us. Will you try and get some extra seat time, whether it's in a truck or something else around Bristol? Or are you just, because of the unknowns with the new car, are you just going to go with the cup car and see what you got?
Just the cup car for me. One more non-wing night at Millbridge. And, you know, I'm trying to do a little something else in a full-size car, but it'd just be a local dirt track when no one's around and just go make some laps and be ready for practice at Bristol and be ready to learn. That's really the best I can be, is just be the fastest learner.
Well, very cool. Well, best of luck at Martinsville before we get to the dirt race at Bristol. The paperclip under the lights, gonna be a lot of fun. Ross, appreciate you doing this 2 weeks in a row. We'll do it again soon.
All right, thank you. See you.
Ross Chastain, the driver of the number one team Trackhouse
Racing Chevrolet joining us here on Chasing Checkers, and appreciate that. He's been on three times already in this short season, and always fun to catch up with him. Coming up next, we will get you set for the Bristol Dirt Race. It's under the lights this year. You'll hear from a couple drivers to give their thoughts on it. Obviously, learned some things last year, but it's a whole new car. There's a lot of talk about windshields and all of those things and mud flaps, so we'll get into that up next. Chasing Checkers, presented by Apple Collision Center and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway on ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. We're on 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. You can check us out on demand at thegamenashville.com or chasingcheckersradio.com, and also subscribe to the podcast at Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on Google, we're on Amazon, all of those things. So just search for Chasing Checkers. Appreciate Ross Chastain for joining us once again here on the show. As, he's kind of become a regular this year, and if you miss any of those interviews, they're all on demand. You can check them out. So the Bristol Dirt Race coming up this weekend. You've been hearing me talk about it for several weeks as we get ready for that. They're going to do it again. This time it's going to be Easter night under the lights, which I'm glad to see it under the lights. I think that's going to add another cool element. It looks like the weather is going to hold up and everything's going to be cool this year, unlike last year. Got the truck race, got the cup race as well coming up Sunday night, so it's going to be a lot of fun. But once again, we're talking about a lot of unknowns going into this week. Last year, several of the drivers tried to get into the cup race just to get some extra seat time, and Kevin Harvick was one of those drivers. He kind of discussed why he decided not to do that this year.
You know, I haven't felt the need to do any of that stuff this year because, I mean, there's just so many differences. The last thing I want to do is stuff that thing into third gear and an H pattern and it be in my car. I still have to think through it. I think the shifting will probably be more second nature after we get done with this weekend just because of the fact that you're going to do it so many times so quickly. So that becomes less of a thought, and like even the switches are different this week than they were the first few races. We had to make some adjustments to our switch panel. So I just, you know, with practice, I just don't feel like I need to be messing around with that. I need to be concentrating on what I'm doing in the cup car, just because the younger ones can adapt a little bit faster to memory and doing the things that they need to do. So this is a lot different than anything I've done. So it's been an adjustment.
So Kevin Harvick on why he's not entering the truck race. And there are a handful of Cup Series drivers that have entered the truck race. Joey Logano is one of them. He's going to run in the Penty's truck race on dirt. You got Chase Elliott is another one that's going to give it a shot just to get some extra seat time. Harrison Burton, who Kevin Harvick was talking about, is Hunt Brothers Racing teammate. He's one, and Austin Dillon is the other one of the regulars. Parker Kligerman, there's a few. Kaz Gralla, you know, they're gonna run it as well. But those are Norm Benning running the truck race on dirt at Bristol, which is going to be pretty cool. But I thought that was interesting because last year it made a ton of sense. And I think some of these drivers are a little hesitant to run other things because of the shifting, because they've, you know, gone from, you know, the traditional shifter to this new way. And, you know, they can pop it in the wrong gear because it's just completely different. So I find that to be interesting. Ryan Blaney also discussed some of the changes at the Bristol Dirt Race.
From what I know, I feel like the tire is better than what it was last year. Just the tread on it, number one, and it's going to be better because it's wider. The tire's wider, so it's going to make it a little bit more racy, which will be good. Hopefully adding banking up to the top will let it kind of widen out. Being a night race is going to help.
I think the night race part is cool from the cool factor, but I think dirt racing traditionally is at night, which is going to help with, you know, keeping it from being so dusty. I think that's why they did it, you know, because the dirt won't dry out as quickly with the sun beating down on it. So as you heard Ryan say, I think that's going to help. The different tire is obviously going to help. So there are things, and that's why, you know, last year going into this race, I was very curious about it. I remember having Darrell Waltrip on the show, and he wasn't sure about it. He's going to return to the Fox booth this week and at a place that he was really, really good at, obviously not on the dirt. But I think we all saw enough, even though the weather made it difficult, we all saw enough where we were going, okay, they can do it again. That's fine. If they want to try it again, let's try it again. And they've changed the tire. Obviously, it's a different car for the Cup Series. They're going to do it under the lights. So let's give it another shot and see what they got. Traditionally, for me, being a fan of Bristol Motor Speedway, I told a friend of mine that is actually working the race this weekend. It's her first trip there. I said, enjoy my favorite racetrack, because it is. It's, you know, I grew up going there. I love short track racing. And, you know, it obviously the racetracks here, you know, have a near and dear place to my heart. But those high banks at Bristol, and, you know, I had some fun trips with my uncle and my aunt. And, you know, it was just those memories that you have. And so I enjoy Bristol, and so I would like to see eventually maybe they find an actual dirt track that they can race on, and they could do just two night races at Bristol. That would be fine with me, but I don't know. Let's see what it does once again, and hopefully the weather cooperates. Alex Bowman gave his thoughts on Bristol dirt versus last year.
Yeah, so it feels all new again, right, with a new car and not knowing what to expect on how the car drives. So looking forward to it. I think it being a night race is obviously a great call. We'll see how it plays out. Hopefully we eliminate some of the struggles from last year, whether it's the dust or the mud and the just lack of being able to see, really. I would like to be able to see where my race car is traveling. But other than that, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, if I'm Alex Bowman, I would like to see where the race car is going too. And that has been a discussion this week. Obviously, the true dirt racers like Larson and Bell and some of them, and Bowman has too, you know, have basically said, like, it would be nice if they could take the windshields out. And because dirt cars don't have windshields, they have more of a cage, and then the driver has their helmet that they have the pull off, and that's how they're able to see. And I totally get that. These cars, you know, having the windshield in a traditional setup on the race car makes it difficult because the mud's going to build up, the dust is going to build up, and it's going to be hard for them to see. It's not like they can reach out the window a la Dale Earnhardt with a squeegee and clean the windshield off. The only time they can do it is when they go to the pits and they pull the tear off. So definitely something to pay attention to, and that's one reason, again, why they put it at night. Last week's winner, William Byron, the only two-time winner this year, also discussed preparation for the Bristol Dirt Race.
I'll be honest, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I think, you know, iRacing has helped. You know, their dirt model is pretty good. The way the track changes, you know, I feel like I've been trying to watch a lot of dirt races to kind of see, you know, how that all works. And luckily, last year with Bristol Dirt in the Cup car, it was pretty much like an asphalt track. It was just a slick asphalt track because it got rubbered in, and you know, you just had to baby the throttle. But I think this year is going to be a little different, so hopefully the run in the dirt late model will help me a little bit. I want to run a lot more of those because I feel like they're a full-size car. You can manipulate them. They're not too dangerous, I feel like, for somebody like me who has no experience. And
you heard William say that iRacing has helped a lot, and I am curious, because I feel like it helped some of these guys last year. I am curious of especially the younger crowd that's using the simulator a little bit more, and I feel like every team is using a simulator or iRacing you know, more because it's just another tool. But does that give you an advantage? Does it matter? Does it just help with sight lines and things like that? That's going to be interesting to see how that all pans out. But you know, I feel like Joey Logano didn't necessarily know what he was doing last year, and he won the inaugural dirt race at Bristol. So going to be fun, going to be unknowns. I can't wait to sit back Sunday night, have some popcorn, and watch them run the dirt at the Bristol Motor Speedway. That's going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. My thanks to Apple Collision Centers and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway for being on board. Bristol Motor Speedway has also been on board this year, and hope they have a fantastic event up there in East Tennessee. Ross Chastain, Joseph Newgarden. If you miss anything, just check it out at thegamenashville.com or chasingcheckersradio.com. Or, of course, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Chasing Checkers. We're back at it next week on ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois.